Let's get into the Word. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of James once again. Turn to the book of James, chapter 1. How many of you had a good week? Say amen. How many of you had kind of a rough week? Say, oh my. I have loved, you know, I've really loved meditating on this passage. I'm so glad I didn't try to push it through to preach the whole thing in one day. Every once in a while, God does it for me. I am so glad. You ask wisdom, He gives you wisdom. My wife can tell you the times when I didn't ask for wisdom and I bought that truck. Or I bought that, how many of you ever bought, you didn't even stop to think, you didn't ask God, you just said, that's it, I'm buying that. How many of you have ever done that? I am standing in our kitchen one day. I got upset. My kids haven't been able to do thus and so, that's it. And on the spot, I determined I was going to spend $5,000, which turned into more than that. I bought a hot tub. And the electricity to go with it. And then when we were done with it, I gave the hot tub away. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, the brainstem gets choked. And it just don't work. Let's learn that we can have what the Lord is giving us. Heavenly Father, just speak to us now, I pray. Once again, in Christ's name, amen. So, go if you would please, one more time. James chapter 1, look at verse 5. We've started this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So let's take a look at this. First of all, we heard this. We need to be two things. We recognize this when it comes to, remember I talked about the hot dog guy. My wife and I had for one meal this last week, we had hot dogs, and I looked at that Nathan hot dog and I thought, oh my soul, there was a guy that ate 75 of these things at one sitting, averaging 8 seconds a hot dog, and he ate 75, and my stomach started hurting. I did not enjoy the meal. But he said doing that, it gave him his mission in life, and it made him feel like he had significance. Well, what's our mission in life? We looked at this, Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's our mission. What is our significance? Matthew 5. I just read it this last week in my devotions. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Then we read about this word called patience. Patience is fortitude, endurance, steadfastness, constancy. The word describes a man who is not swayed from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. By the way, you will recognize this. The further we go on in the difficulties that believers are now starting to have in this day and age, as you go into the Scripture, you will realize more and more this, the work that God is doing in you. There were things that would have concerned you greatly in time past, but now you realize your trust in your God is growing. Amen? Your patience is growing. trials we looked at, this was our first point. This is the first call. Trials call for wisdom. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom. And we saw that it's legitimate to ask God for wisdom in each and every circumstance in life. Why do we need wisdom? Knowledge is information. Wisdom is application. Knowledge is comprehending facts. Wisdom is handling life. Knowledge is theoretical. Wisdom is practical. Now we go to the second part. Go back again to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Watch this. Wisdom calls for prayer. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now this is where we're going to start getting into the challenge of trusting God. How do we find wisdom for the facing of trials? Ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. The Greek word there for ask means ask and keep on asking every day. You see where it says he'll give to all men liberally? Now, when we think of the word liberal today, some of us might go, oh, I don't like that. No, here it's a good thing. Because the word liberally means graciously and unconditionally. Now, that's speaking about, folks, that's speaking about your God. Now, again, we're going to be thinking about trusting. And we're going to come to a point where we've got to ask ourselves, is this me or is this me? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, watch this, and upbraideth not. The phrase, the word upbraideth means literally to cast into the teeth. It means giving stinging words. What in the world are you dealing with? Why are you troubling me with this? That's not our God. You go to God and you ask Him for wisdom. He doesn't turn around and say, oh, it's you again. Yes, it's me again. He loves it. He loves it. Listen, face it. There's not a person here, not one person, that has what it takes to face the trials of life, listen to me, as God would have us face them. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. Here's what our challenge is. All right. In Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And we praise God for that. But the problem is, we wind up forgetting, we don't get the renewing of the mind, as Romans 12 tells us, and we wind up falling into a default setting when it comes to dealing with the difficulties of life. For instance, there are some that have a real bent to this. When all else fails and you're having a difficulty in life, yell at the person that's doing that to you! It's called an anger problem. You know something? If we wind up having a default setting, and we all do, of something outside of how God wants us to handle life, we will automatically fall into that. You know what the biggest trigger point of that is? Pride. Pride is the stone over which most people stumble. The founder of the university that my wife and I went to had a saying, no doubt the problem or the trouble is with you. In other words, here's Christians. Here's a lot of Christians. If there was truth on the slab there after you're buried, here lies so-and-so. It was somebody else's fault. I'm here because, you know, somebody else did this to me. That's how we wind up living the Christian life. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Valor, I'm so sorry, buddy. Hey, it's all right. I'm going to miss that kid. I'm telling you what, I'm going to miss that kid. Let's get back to this. No one is sufficient in themselves, but the Lord is sufficient. The Lord told Paul in the book of Hebrews, "My grace is sufficient." That's in the present tense. He didn't say, "My grace will be sufficient," or "if you're good enough for it." No, he said, "My grace is sufficient." Do you realize that it's because of God? You and I have enough grace right now to deal with life right now. Amen? That's what we've got to learn. It's the same thing with the wisdom that we need. Prayer is such a wonderful resource God gives us. We wind up connecting at any moment. We could pray right now. God is hearing us. Not because we're good, but because of who? Jesus Christ. We are in Him, and He will not turn His Son down. That's why. So the question James puts before us has to do with that for which we are praying. This is important. We wind up in a trial. Let's, for instance, okay, I'm not going to say who it is that maybe a lot of us are going to be voting for when it comes to November, but we are praying for this. Lord, please have the person in the White House that isn't going to turn on us viciously, that isn't going to put babies to death willfully and joyfully, that isn't going to destroy marriage, etc., etc., etc. But what if the other person does wind up there? Oh, our God has failed us. No, He hasn't. My grace is sufficient. This is not talking about getting the trial and having it lifted from us. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Not to get us out of something, but to help us in the situation. Somebody put it like this, and I almost had this up here, but I thought it's going to be made of glass and I don't want to deal with that. It's almost like the language here is this. God has a pitcher and He's ready, He's got it tilted and He's ready to give us at any moment. Here, more, have more, have more. Here you go. And just keeps pouring it as needed. That's what it's talking about there when it comes to this. Now, he said, and upbraideth not. Listen, do you know that God is up in heaven, not looking at you, trying to find fault? How many of you can think of some place, sometime this last week, you blew it, either the sin of omission or the sin of commission? You know, God isn't up there trying to get us to realize, you know how much I've had to put up with you this last week? That's not our God. He knows us. He knows that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knows us. King David put it like this in Psalm 103. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You have a reverential, loving fear of God. Listen, God's not up there going, I bet again Brad is going to blow it. I bet again Ed is going to mess up. I bet again that Mike, oh man, how much have I put up with him? How much his wife has put up with him? Boy, I am feeling sorry right now for Esther, God is saying, because of Dave. And oh mercy. And speaking of the Greens, when it comes to Vivian and Paul, who puts up with who? Well, I'm not going to say, I'm just kidding. But the point is this, he upbraideth not. Every one of us, every one of us, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Okay, wisdom calls for prayer. Write this down. Prayer calls for faith. Prayer calls for faith. Look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith. That word there, as it is used, is, as one person put it, the fundamental religious attitude. We trust. That's what Christianity, biblical Christianity, is all about. We're trusting God, not just for salvation, but we're trusting Him for daily things. But let him ask in faith, watch this, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Wavering about the thing asked for, whether it is right or not to ask for it. Well, I don't, you know, about the power of God to do it. Well, just can God really, you know, can he really do this? What about his faithfulness when it comes to his promises? Listen, he that wavereth has to do with this, the restless swaying to and fro of the surface of the water. How many of you get sick on a boat? Yeah, been there, done that. You know, and you get out there, I was with some friends and we were going to Catalina Island. And when you begin, it was so funny to watch people. You know, like, hey, we're going out here. And then a half hour, and it's like, oh, my soul. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. Now, listen. We're kind of making fun about this right now. But this is where we mess up. We think about this. Please don't miss this. We think about the wisdom that we need. We honestly would truthfully love wisdom. And we hear this. Let him ask of God. And then the flesh or the wicked one whispers in our ear, you really think he's going to do that? You really think he's going to do that? But let him ask in faith, trusting God. Nothing wavering. Why? Here's the problem. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Look at the next verse. For let not that man, the man that's wavering, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. This verse that I just quoted, this verse, verse 7, is in the emphatic. It absolutely will not happen. So, look at it this way. In the day and age that we're in, the situation that we are in right now, what is it that God desires to grow in our life? Let me ask you this. How many of you are satisfied, and don't raise your hand, how many of you are satisfied with the amount of faith that you live with day by day? I'm not in my life. See, God is seeking to grow us. Now, there are some things that I realize, you know, God really did mean this. But there are other places I'm going, you know what, Lord, I need to trust you more in this. God does not waste his wisdom on those who would trample on it. If you can't trust the God who gives wisdom, God won't trust you with his wisdom. You wouldn't know what to do with it because you're not standing on the solid ground of faith. You're bobbing up and down in the water of indecision. Like Peter, who took his eyes off the Lord and looked on the water instead. Look at verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can read it literally like this. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is what God does to open our eyes when we recognize, I need this wisdom to live. He does this to open our eyes to recognize, before I get the wisdom from God, I need to have a strong faith in the God that gives the wisdom. If we can't trust the God who gives the wisdom, we're not going to use the wisdom properly. In fact, it'll be deflated. There is no wisdom. You can't get wisdom from somebody you don't trust. So what God is saying right now through James is this. There is something that you need to see in me in order to make that wisdom count. I've told you the story before, but this is what God used to open my eyes. You know this. 20 years ago, suffering from a deep depression and getting into this pulpit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, most of the time, twice on a Sunday, and preaching, and yet I was dying inside. And by the way, there are literally tens of thousands of pastors in America right now that are struggling. 1,500 a month. 1,500 a month leave the ministry never to return in America. Why? Because of the challenges that wind up coming. I didn't want to do that. But I was dying inside. And I'll never forget meeting with Brother Jim Benny. What a blessing he has been to my wife and I. And I told him what I was struggling with. Mike, in your heart of hearts, do you believe God loves you? And I said, no. And I'm the pastor. And I meant it. That was Monday morning. Wednesday afternoon. I can't even remember what we were talking about. But I was facing his desk and I'm sitting in this deep chair. And all of a sudden, I exploded out of that chair. And I said, oh my soul, I'm the classic double-minded man. And I was unstable in all my ways. And how God has helped. So let me ask you something. Can you honestly, 100%, with a true heart, go before God, even this morning, and say, Lord, I need wisdom, and trust Him completely that He'll give it to you. This is not a brag, but I can. You know why? Not because I'm so good, but I have learned that the God that I preach loves me. And I have learned that the God that I preach keeps His promises. And He does the same thing for you. And that, for that reason, we as a church can go before Him, even now, going into the last quarter of 2020 and saying, Lord, give us your wisdom. If you have a heart for the God of heaven, if you have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, you can do the same thing. And He will keep His promise to you. Now let me ask you, how many of you need God's wisdom? Raise your hand! If any of you lack wisdom, and we all do, let him ask of God. that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to say, Ivan, I'm not going to give it to you. He won't say that. He won't say, Roger, Mike, forget it. No. Antonio, you can't have it. He will give to all men liberally and women too, and will not upbraid, but every person here needs to ask without wavering. I'm going to trust God. He'll do it. Let me ask you this. Did you have to do anything to trust Him for salvation other than whosoever shall call unto me? No. It's the same thing with this. It's simple trust. To ask in faith is to ask without doubting. Period. What does it mean to pray in faith? Too many think faith means that we pick something out that we want God to do, and then we psych ourselves up to believe that He will actually do it. Faith to these people is the same thing as positive thinking. And we don't preach the power of positive thinking here. And with this definition in place, many are disappointed and wind up being angry with God. They wanted God to do something, they asked Him for it, and they were really convinced that He would do it. And it didn't happen. And what winds up happening? Well, this faith system, it just doesn't work. So we either play a game or we walk away. Faith is not believing that God will do what we want done. It is believing that God will do what He has promised to do. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. What has He promised to do? He has promised to give wisdom to all those that ask. Amen? If they'll believe and doubt not, He'll do it. You know, it's not our business to determine whether God is actually giving us the wisdom for which we ask. It is our business to do the asking and to leave it with God to do as He has promised to do. You know, our God is there. The Lord said through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 29, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." There was an associate of Warren Wiersbe, a secretary. She was going through some great trials. She had had a stroke. Her husband had gone blind, and then he had to be taken to the hospital where they were sure that he was going to die. He says, "I saw her in church one Sunday and assured her that I was praying for her. And she made a remarkable question. She asked a remarkable question. What are you asking God to do?" she asked. "It startled me," he said. "Well, I'm asking God to help you and strengthen you." And her reply was this: "I appreciate that, but pray about one more thing. Pray that I'll have the wisdom not to waste any of this." Do we need wisdom? Yes or no? Are we coming into a time possibly of great trial? Yes or no? As we pray, and as we trust God, we need to pray this: Lord, don't let us waste any of this. If I'm having to learn patience, Lord, help me not to just spend the time asking you to get me out of this. If my trust for you needs to grow, if my love for you needs to grow, if my testimony needs to grow before others who are having difficulty, Lord, teach me in this. Help me not to waste this time. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to be standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, recognizing this. Whatever he gives me, I need to not waste it, but to grow by it. Let's pray.